Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think I just kind of got a little bit away from myself trying to do too much. So I just simplified my process, something that worked in Boston, and kind of saw it pay off here tonight.
He's going to need the changeup against the right-handed lineup, right? Like, that was kind of a prerequisite for the night. In the first inning, he threw a couple, and you thought, okay, this is going to be okay tonight. You know, but then, you know, just the way the fastball jumped through the zone tonight, that was impressive. I think it was in the eighth inning. There were some 95s up on the board. You know, to carry that velocity, you know, through the eighth inning on a 130-degree night, super impressive. Sweeper slider thing was another gear down from that, so three different speeds. It's just really good. I think what we saw in Boston and what we saw tonight, I think that's going to be more what it's going to be like than what we saw in Tampa.
So you heard Trevor Rogers after the game, and I don't think anybody had this on their bingo card. 8 shutout innings, 3 hits, no walks, 101 pitches. Orioles behind Jackson Holliday, who drove in 4, beat the Rangers 6-0. And then Tony Manzalino saying the dominant Trevor Rogers that we saw in Boston and then last night is the one we're going to see moving forward, not the one you saw in Tampa. But I think it begins and ends with what we saw with Rogers last night.
I mean, it's their best start since Corbin Burns in the playoffs, right?
It's their best regular season start since Grayson Rodriguez in 23. It's like the guy goes 8 innings.
Let's be honest. He's probably got 2 of the best starts of the season for the Orioles.
Yes.
He was fantastic last night. And I think something that was interesting is you saw him throw his changeup a lot. And I think in part because the velocity was up for his fastball. He maxed out at 96.3 miles per hour last night, 93.9 average. That's over 2 miles per hour more on average on his fastball compared to last year, year over year. But he was attacking guys. He was getting ahead of pitchers, of batters, 18 first pitch strikes. And guys, the big number, 0 walks. After having 3 walks when he was staked to an 8-0 lead in Tampa.
Can't he? The one thing we've learned this year, he can't sit for half an hour, Bum. Like
that's the key, I guess.
Yeah. Quick innings. Scott, you score. Don't have a massive one inning. Get your runs in multiple innings so that Rogers can get back out there.
And the game was, what, barely over two hours?
2 hours and 8 minutes?
Oh, man.
He got 10 outs on at-bats that were 1 or 2 pitches.
Yeah,
10 outs!
The last couple innings of the Rangers reminded me a lot of some Oriole games this year where guys are just up there hacking. Like, first pitch outs in the 7th and 8th innings as he's getting through. Like, I'm surprised he's still out there, and then it'd be like a 6-pitch 7th inning because the guys are hacking at the first pitch.
And lost in an awe a little bit is Chadwick Tromp was his catcher.
Tromp!
Hey. He put the bat on the ball, too.
Make the Orioles great again.
I mean, I think I mentioned this yesterday. When things have looked the weirdest for them, they've tended to thrive. And people have looked at a lot of these lineups lately and been like, there's no shot. And that's when they've ended up getting it done. And this was another one with Sanchez batting clean up and Tromp in there. And Rogers coming off a debacle in Tampa. And you know, they all come together to play a heck of a baseball game. Look, buckle up because you're going to get the Rogers experience now. Like, and I, he obviously flicks a switch of some sort, whether it's mental or otherwise, from the minors to the majors because he hasn't pitched like this in Norfolk all year. Because if he did, we would have seen him a hell of a lot earlier.
Well, I thought it was interesting in his on-field interview with Masson after the game where they asked him about his confidence, and he was talking about mental exercises that he does that has put him in a much better frame of mind over the past couple of years, and he kind of went on about that answer. I think there's something to it.
I want to get to the other big story from yesterday, and that's Jackson Holliday, who since they got to the Bronx, remember, he wasn't supposed to play Friday night, and all he did is get three hits. They got no hit until the eighth on Saturday, but he did walk in that game. And then two hits on Sunday and three hits last night. So he's got eight hits and a walk since Friday.
He's on fire. And a week ago, you looked at his numbers in June, and you said maybe it's time to back off him a little bit. Not sit him, but maybe get him out of the leadoff spot because they're having trouble developing big innings, and he is one of their better run producers. And so even if he's got bad luck right now, if he keeps hitting the ball hard and he does it with people on base, he'll get maybe more opportunities to drive guys in and get his confidence going again that way. He has avoided anything close to the types of troughs that he hit last year where, like, it just was he's not that kid anymore. There will be ebbs and flows. But what he's doing right now, what he's doing against left-handed pitching is eye-opening. I even wondered, like, getting picked off in that last game, you know, how's he going to be against the lefty? Corbin has been pretty good this year. Jackson Holliday's locked in. It's been the single biggest positive development for them as a franchise this season, and I don't even know what's second. It's probably the first, second, and third biggest thing they have going for him. Right now, it's just the turnaround he's made.
And doing it against Corbin, who's been really tough against left-handers this year. It's just a 6.15 OPS lefties have off him. But Jackson Holliday, he's been great. This season, just the jump that he's taken from last year where he looked lost and looked completely overwhelmed to now, it's been night and day.
Orioles win 6-0. They're back on the hot surface of Camden Yards tonight. It's supposed to be in the high 90s again this evening. Their ace, Charlie Morton, on the bump for the O's against someone named Jacob Letts. It's a 6:30 first pitch. That means Baltimore baseball tonight. 5:30, it's Bob Haney and Jim Hunter live from Pickles. Massive show. We are done early at 5:30 because of Baltimore baseball tonight. Full guest list. Morgan Atsit. We'll talk Ravens and Orioles with her. She's, of course, from Fox 45. Sports. Talk to her at 2:30. Evan Grant covers the Texas Rangers for the Dallas Morning News. We'll get his thoughts on the Rangers coming up at 3:00. Part of our Baltimore baseball night coverage, Mike Bordick. He joins us at 3:30. How's he feeling about the O's? He'll tell us that at 3:30. Buck Showalter, former Oriole manager, was on the Roku call of the Sunday Orioles Yankees game. What's he think of the Orioles? He'll tell us at 4:30, and we'll talk O's and Ravens with our buddy Cordell Woodland at 5:00.
Are you totally convinced that Buck knows how to find Roku on his TV?
We'll ask him.
I don't know if you should ask him.
It's a little bit.
Do you have the Roku app, Buck?
Well, you don't need the app. I mean, did I have to download the app? I had it already on my TV. I must have done it in the past.
Yeah, you need the app.
I didn't remember doing it.
Yeah, you need the app. It's not a challenge.
But if I could do it, anybody could do it.
That's a very good point.
So I'm assuming Buck could because I could.
Yeah,
he made the
but
song
I was
in
shocked
summer.
Sunday morning when I just went in, found the Roku, clicked on it, and the game was right. I was like, wow.
We downloaded it last year because they were in a Roku game a year ago.
I must have blacked that out.
Yeah. They at some point, it went. Who had the 11:30 games early?
It was
Peacock?
Yes, it was Peacock. Peacock, yeah. And then Peacock dropped it and Roku picked it up. So there was an Oriole Roku game at some point in the second half of last year. That's why you have the app. Because it was already on my TV, too, for that very reason.
It probably was rigmarole to do that.
Yeah, because I did not.
But it's over.
Yeah, I would have not had the app, but I had it because it was a year ago. Coming up next year, we stick with the Orioles. And friend of the show, Jim Bowden, had a piece about trades that he'd like to see made at the deadline. And one of them had the Orioles trading Sam Basayo in part for Sandy Alcantara of Miami Marlins. Should the Orioles trade Big Sam for a pitcher? We discuss next here on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah. Orioles and Rangers, game two of the three-game series tonight at 6:30. Baltimore baseball night at 5:30. That's Bob Haney and Jim Hunter live from Pickles. Orioles They are in the news or rumored to be making trades by the deadline. Most people have them selling, but Jim Bowden has them as a potential buyer. And here he is talking about Mike Elias and him being on the clock.
Look, what I would want as an owner is I would want him to come into my office and tell me the plan. Give me the long-term plan with this team that you have right now. Give me the core pieces that we're going to be building around and where they're going to play. And then tell me what your plan is right now at the trade deadline, since we're only a little over 2 months away from it. Give me your plan there. And then go through the farm system and give me the timetable of the prospects like Bradfield that you think are ready. Well, you know, is he ready to replace Mullins next year in center field? Like, I need this laid out for me. And that's what the owner needs to do. He doesn't need to go hire a consultant. He needs Mike Elias to come in and give him the actual plan. And then Mike, you know, he's on the clock. I mean, this trade deadline, you're on the clock. You got a lot of pieces that contending teams are going to want. You're also in a fortunate position that a lot of the teams that are not in the race don't have a lot to trade.
So there's Jim Bowden. I think that was on with us talking about Mike Elias being on the clock. And could part of the plan be trading Sam Basayo for a frontline starting pitcher? Because that's what Jim Bowden suggested in his last Athletic article.
Yeah, he had them trading what? McDermott, Basayo?
Povich as well?
Or was it I got to find it.
Exactly. It's three guys.
There's been so many different things that have come out lately about potential trades. But yeah, I mean, he had them trading Basayo, Povich, and something else for Alcantara. Like, and Alcantara, before his Tommy John, he was a top 10 pitcher in this league for sure. He's still young, and he's cost efficient. But you've held on to Basayo this long, and he's this close. And I get it. Right now, the arrow's down on McDermott. The arrow's down on Heston. The arrow is down on Mayo. He's starting to buck that trend, but people are going to see a little bit more. And you've already lost some value because you can't sell him as a third baseman anymore.
No.
I'd say the arrow is down overall in that regard. Recent first round picks, you know, Bradfield and Honeycutt are nowhere close or not, you know, and even their upside, I think a lot of people would tell you they're on contending teams that they're fourth outfielders at best right now, the way a lot of people in the industry would look at it. So that's the state of their farm system. So to give away your crown jewel now, and your 1-1 catcher has regressed markedly over the last 12 months.
And is hurt.
Right. So I don't want to go there. And I've been someone who's been willing to trade. Look, was I willing to trade him for Ohtani? I was. That's Ohtani when he was an Angel, when there were rumors that he'd be traded, and then Artie Moreno killed it all anyway, and they wouldn't trade him. And then he got hurt. But I'm not averse to trading him. Like, would I have traded Jackson Holliday for Tarek Skubal a year ago at this time? I would have. Well, but, like, I don't want to. I think you're going to hear a lot about Basayo between now and the deadline. And it would have to be a hell of a trade for me. And as much as Alcantara's looked a little better lately, the changeup is not the changeup from before. And I'm not sure that they're just an Alcantara away.
Well, isn't that the point? Like, if you tell me a scenario where this is the Orioles from 2 years ago and Sam Basayo is at least having a good year, they're on a 100-win pace, and they're a World Series contender, and you want to trade for Alcantara to help get you over the top, I'm here to listen. But this team stinks.
I mean, you'd have him for a couple years, so it's not a rental by any stretch. But I still don't know that he puts them over the top enough.
It's not a rental, but I'm with Ken 100%, where it's the timing of all of this that would make no sense. So in a year where you're not going to make the playoffs, you're going to take a big swing with one of the top prospects in all of baseball, it doesn't make much sense. And you're right, it's not a rental, but he's pitching the remainder of this year in a non-playoff year, so you are losing some of that
value.
Well,
you might even shut him down after a certain innings point just because of all the time he missed, and to try to get him ready for next year where, okay, now we're on the clock. We got 2 years with this guy on a team-friendly deal. We need to win a World Series. Oh, yeah, and by the time that clock's up, Gunner's probably gone anyway, so.
And if you were to go down this rabbit hole then are you doing what Rosenthal was saying, where you're buying and selling? Like, that wouldn't be your only move.
No, you would have to, exactly. Because you better start replenishing.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you trade Sam.
You still got to trade O'Hearn and Mullins and, like, Eflin.
Exactly. Because if you trade Sam, Sam is carrying this farm
system. And they're probably
going to
ask
right
for
now.
Heston, too, sure. Or whatever. Yeah. And at this point, you might, like, you want to talk about Arrow down. I mean, that's...
Well, and you talk about Leopards not being able to change their spots. Like, they could have. There was a scenario where they could have traded Heston and Mayo and a couple other pieces and gotten Garrett Crochet in the offseason.
Could have absolutely done that.
But they chose not to, and now you're going to switch and trade Basayo when the team is a colossal disappointment? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and outside of that, again, our friend Kylie McDaniel, right? We talked about the Athletic piece ranking their top 30 trade chips last week. Kylie's got his top 50. There's not a whole lot of starting pitching out there. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea that you're going to trade Basayo and solve your pitching situation, not just for next year, but for years to come, because you've got nobody healthy signed for next year, right? Yeah, you've got control on Bradish and Grayson. They're not healthy.
Mm-mm.
Like,
you can help.
I don't know where else you're going. You know what I mean? Like, are we instilled? Castillo is on the wrong side of 30. You know, like, let's say the Mariners try to do that, like. Okay, but what's he going to be like in 2 years from now? I, in the final year of that deal, like that would scare me, you know? Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's a guy. Mitch Keller is like Eflin a year ago. Like, no, you need better than that.
I'd be more interested in Castillo again if they were good. Like, if we're talking about a team.
Well, you've got control, but not enough control for me to trade Basayo for that guy on the wrong side of 30. I just think they need to be really careful with that kid in particular, especially given how it's turned out for pretty much everybody not named Westy, Jackson, and Gunner right now.
Orioles are getting ready for game two of their three-game series against the Texas Rangers. 6:30 first pitch, 5:30 Baltimore Baseball Night Live from Pickles. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter coming up next. We'll talk Orioles and we'll talk Ravens. Morgan Atsit, Sports, Fox 45. She joins us next here on the...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fan. Ravens are in their break before the start of training camp. Orioles just got arguably their best starting pitching performance of the year from Trevor Rogers. A perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where Morgan Atsit, Fox 45 Sports, joins us. And Morgan, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So Trevor Rogers has made three starts for the Orioles. Two have been really good. One was bad. Are you buying the good Trevor Rogers?
He's had their best starts all season, which says a lot about him, but not so much about the pitching staff. I think it's kind of a perfect example of what this season is. You're getting a lot of good, and then you get a lot of head scratchings, then you get some bad. And sadly, that's kind of what's put them at 10 games below being 500 and kind of wondering how these next few weeks are going to play out and what the plan really is going to be by the end of next month. But, I mean, those were great. Keep it up. Keep it going. You have to stack them. You just would like to have seen the guys that have consistently been in the rotation and somewhat healthy this season being the ones to put together the best starts, not someone like Trevor Rogers.
And Morgan, two of those guys, Zach Eflin and Tomoyuki Sugano, they were two of the Orioles' more consistent pitchers at the beginning of the season, but of late, they've really been faltering. Are you concerned about them moving forward?
Concerned more so with Zach Eflin, because that was supposed to be your trading piece, right? If you're going to go out and try to be sellers to find something to look forward to this season, but really be thinking about next year and having that team control of that player beyond just this rental second half of this season, that was supposed to be your best potential guy. And right now, I don't know what the market is for him. Obviously there is one. He's a top five guy in most rotations, maybe top three in a lot of them. But as far as getting in hot and doing it consistently when teams are needing it, and you can ask for more and be a little bit more picky. The Orioles have kind of lost that leverage a little bit with him. So, Mika Sugano, I have no problems with. He has already exceeded my expectations because I didn't know what you were going to get from someone of his age with his MLB debut. And there's been all the other years of him pitching so well in Japan, and no one's brought him over yet, or maybe the interest with him hasn't been there. Maybe the money hasn't been right. But the Orioles went out and got him, and he's been in their rotation and has shown some flashes. So I'm okay with him and how that is going. But the Eflin drop-off is concerning because you know he's probably not a part of this team next year.
So overall, we're almost to July, and there have been ebbs and flows in this season, obviously, and that's baseball over 162. But we're kind of starting to run out of time here for them to choose a lane, right, to be in. Yeah. Are they in the sell the guys whose contracts are about to expire mode for you, or should they be in that mode?
I think they should be for the guys that contracts are about to expire. Absolutely. And I think you also have to keep in mind with what I mentioned earlier with the Eflin stuff, because he's not going to be here, but whoever you do deal and what you get, it cannot be for a couple of months. It has to be also for next season's team control, or you at least feel like you can give money to have that control. It's just such an interesting position because obviously the start of the season did not go to plan. You have new ownership, still new ownership, even though this is another season. We don't know how long Mike Elias and company is going to get for this. You would hope with all the pieces that they have in place and the young players and what they did the past two previous seasons, that's what you think they're going to be next season, especially when you get some health to the rotation coming back with the young players like Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez. But the people are not going to be here beyond this season. Absolutely. You have to sell and try to get something. And I also think, you have to start thinking we can't hug our prospects that much longer. If you get the push to have it next season, because you also have to remember they no longer have the number one farm system. So this is really starting to look like how much time is Mike Elias going to get for this? Is this guaranteed he's going to get next season? Hopefully ownership is having those conversations because those are the moves that are going to be made. Is he going to get next year? Is he going to get the year after that? And that's kind of where the moves have to go, which is unfortunately those are answers that we're never going to know right now. They're never going to tell us that. I mean, I don't even know if he's been told that. Right. But you have to start thinking, what are we selling or what are we buying for?
Talking with Morgan Atz, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. One more Oriole thing, at least for me. Not a lot of good from this season, but one bit of really good has been Jackson Holliday. And I guess, are you buying what you're seeing from him right now, or has he exceeded your expectations?
He has exceeded my expectations, not so much for when they got him one of one and what we thought he was going to be and what we knew he could be, but how bad the downs were last season and how much of a mind bleep it had to be for him to think you're going to be up and you're not, and then you come up and it's not great, and then just the back and forth. That mentally, those were the issues. You knew the talent had to be there. How could people that do this for a living with these prospects of the growth and development and the drafting bomb on this? And nobody did. It has exceeded my expectations just with how quickly last year has completely been flushed. And he is the player that everybody thought he was going to be. And at a different position, you have to hand it to him with what he did in the offseason. His defense has drastically improved. I mean, I know it's still not great. Sometimes Gunnar Henderson is still not great at short. But what he has done to get rid of the mental and to be a leader of this team, and he better be a slam dunk for an all-star, right? I mean, it has beyond exceeded my expectations, and he is the guy, I'll say Gunnar Henderson as well, that you don't touch. Everyone else gets lumped into that, what are they going to do? How are they going to buy? How are they going to sell? And what are they trying to do for next season? But off limits, Jackson Holliday is the future, and he's the one that they should really be thinking about in the next couple years of locking down sooner rather than later.
Morgan, let's switch to the Ravens. We're less than a month away from the first full team training camp practice, and we haven't talked to you since the Jair Alexander news broke. He signed a one-year deal with the Ravens. Adding him into the fold, what is the potential for this secondary?
It's just another proven corner. I know the last two seasons haven't been great with injuries, only playing 14 games total, but even when he played last year, there was production, and there's production in the turnover game. And I think that's what they're looking for. And Marlon Humphrey spoke about that when minicamp ended. If you have to pinpoint what's been the defense's problem not getting over the hump, it's come the playoffs, they have no takeaways against the Bills. And that's just something that when you get to playoff football, you can love your offense all you want, and we know it's an offensive game, and we know the rules are even set to make the offense great, but we still know the cliche saying that defense wins championship, and you're not going to win the Super Bowl. You're not going to get to the Super Bowl unless your defense is absolutely dominating. Look at Philadelphia last season. I mean, it's just kind of what needs to happen, and I think it's just another player that is a veteran, that is proven, and that gives you flexibility that you lost when our Darius Washington went down with a torn Achilles. He may come back at some point at the end of the season, but we all know how that injury is, and we all know that position. I don't expect to see anything from him in 2025. So it gives you that flexibility to get Marlon moving more in the field versus so much on the outside.
You hear this Pablo Torre news at all? You hear anything about this collusion case that looks like the NFL and the NFLPA wanted swept away? And boy, if I'm Lamar Jackson, that's some interesting news to me, huh?
You're probably not happy with your business being public for someone that doesn't like his business being public. But when there's a collusion case and investigation and all this stuff is coming out, I mean, you were a part of that as far as the less guaranteed contracts, allegedly ownership wanted handed out so they can kind of have the power and not have the guaranteed deals. And Lamar wanted a guaranteed deal. We all know that. That's not new. And those negotiations, we even know from not really Lamar, but from Eric DaCosta, they were frustrating at times because it just was tough to get done. And I don't think there was a ton of communication. And it kind of came down to Lamar coming around in the 25th hour. And it worked, and it's fine. And he got what he wanted, and he's on this team, and they're winning, and everything's great. But are we really surprised that billionaires that run that industry have the power when it comes to contracts? With any industry, your bosses are going to have the leverage. It's good that they have a PA and that the players can discuss and compare and contrast their notes, but at the end of the day, they're not paying themselves.
Well, it's good you have a PA. It's good if you have a PA, as long as like people like J.C. Tretter, who are atop it, aren't calling other players morons and idiots and wusses, and you know what I mean? Like, and you don't have the NFLPA also wanting this stuff under wraps as well as the billionaires. That's the part where if I'm Lamar, I'm really pissed off.
Well, you got to be united front, right? And like I mentioned earlier, if anyone doesn't want to discuss anything publicly or his business, it's Lamar Jackson. So he's probably not happy that week one of his offseason, he's sitting around, and here we go again.
And is his phone working?
I thought that was comical. That's the whole, I'm going in a tunnel.
Yeah. My microphone's not working.
I'm in another country. Yes. You know, that to me, it's comical. But, I mean, do you love that so much of that became public? No. But it's not like we weren't hearing, even with our formal press conferences, that this negotiation took some time, and it took a lot out of the Ravens and Eric DaCosta. So I don't think we're surprised with some of the antics that we're looking. But yeah, if you're the NFLPA, don't you want to be united front, right? It
would make
you
sense.
You would think so.
Morgan.
It's just another reminder, too, if he's going to be, you know, $70-plus million next season, and this headache of a negotiation is going to be happening, and he was asked about it during minicamp, and I get it doesn't want to talk about it, but it's a reality. You can't play under that cap next season if you want to have a competitive roster.
Ravens need to make sure the phone works when they're negotiating this year. Morgan, thank you.
It's the microphone part, Ken, okay? The phone works.
Yeah.
The microphone part didn't work. I'm going through a tunnel now, guys. I'm breaking up.
Thanks, Morgan.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Morgan Atsett, Fox 45 Sports. We're going to talk to Evan Grant from the Dallas Morning News, get his thoughts on the Rangers, who have to be thought of as a disappointment so far this season. But coming up next, we stick with the Ravens. And Jason did a dive on the Ravens in the fourth quarter. Are they closers? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. It's interesting. If we go back in time when the Ravens were negotiating with Lamar Jackson and all these teams, like I remember Atlanta famously saying, well, we got Desmond Ridder. We're good. Jason was alleging collusion in the moment as it happened. And now looks like Pablo Torre and Mike Florio have uncovered some evidence that looks like there was some collusion after all. Here's Pablo Torre talking about the Lamar Jackson of it all.
And I want to start with Lamar Jackson here. not just because he's the biggest name, the two-time MVP, but because we have this private text message. And now we're in the private text message zone when it comes to these stars. Because according to the document, Lamar Jackson had sent a text to Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta. Quote, "I'm going to continue to request a," and this is in all caps, "fully guaranteed contract. I understand you all don't, and that's fine," end quote. This eventually led Lamar Jackson to refusing different contract offers from the Ravens and then requesting a trade, as NFL fans might recall, and then claiming, and this is one of my favorite details in this whole thing, amid these stalled negotiations, that, quote, "the microphone on his phone was not working, making communications with Mr. DaCosta difficult," end quote.
He also later in that text conversation, when he requested a trade, Eric asked him what teams he'd like to be traded to, and Lamar never responded. So, but interesting that, as Morgan Atsit said, the private stuff now out in the public. But Jason, you thought that there was something fishy going on here.
It never passed my smell test. The way these owners were coming out immediately saying we want nothing to do with them, they were telling you that, hey, we're all in this together.
Bless you.
And this fight is about more than me getting the best quarterback I could ever get and giving him what he wants to do. It's about tamping down costs for all of us. It's about only one of us is going to win the Super Bowl the next couple of years anyway. And heck, it might just be, you know, Kansas City three of the next five. So what's more important? Trying to reward our fan base with the best product possible and doing whatever it takes to get the best players, or maintaining a fiscal decorum that's going to allow all of us to maximize profits and to make sure that this dangerous, their words, not mine, precedent that Jimmy Haslam set by fully guaranteeing a contract for a bum-ass quarterback doesn't happen again. And they all knew that Watson was not the caliber of quarterback that these other guys were going to hit the market were. And so we cannot let this become a trend. And it was, in real time, absolutely ridiculous, and to me, evidence of collusion, the way an Arthur Blank or others would themselves or through second and third parties like their GMs and their team president, let it be known. Remember how quickly people were coming out saying, he's not for us. We don't need to talk to him. We're not even going to call him. We really like Desmond Ridder, or we really like the 2025 draft class, or the projected 2024 draft class, or, you know, like, it was jaw-dropping. And the slander, the way that people would privately slander Lamar, or he's not a leader, or he hasn't won a Super Bowl
gets
yet.
Hurt.
How many quarterbacks in the league have won a Super Bowl at any given moment in time?
Remember, Arthur Blank said, well, he's an injury risk.
Like, after he kept paying Matt Ryan crazy money after he was broken down and couldn't move and defend himself or pass the ball anymore. Like, it was crazy. And to me, this is a huge deal. And the fact that the NFLPA also didn't, you'd think this was, if not a total win, and it wasn't for the NFLPA, there are parts of this war that they won that's part of these 60-plus pages of documents. And the fact that they were fighting to suppress it, even though it could help them, shows you, I've said this a million times before, there's not much difference between the cops and the criminals. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a, they both need each other, and there's a certain element of cover your ass to the people at the top of Park Avenue at the NFL and the people at the top of the NFLPA in Washington, D.C., that they kind of need each other. And it's a... It's an ugly symbiotic relationship. And so sometimes when they know that it's not looking good for either of them, even though this should have been a win for the NFLPA, the fact that they said and did so many stupid things themselves that they'd rather just bury the whole thing, that's shameful.
I find it still pretty crazy that the NFL won this lawsuit when there's a direct quote saying there's little question that the NFL Management Council, with the blessing of the commissioner, encouraged the 32 NFL clubs to reduce guarantees in veteran contracts at the March 2022 annual owners meetings. Like, that's verbatim in the 61-page document, but the NFL still won because they found the 2024 hearing did not prove by a clear preponderance of the evidence that the teams accepted and acted on the encouragement of the NFL Management Council. Why have a management council if you aren't going to?
Well, and it's very like this is all ultimately a lot of it going to be optics in the court of public opinion. It's very, very difficult to prove collusion. That's why if you prove it, you get trouble and five times damages. But that's the bar
the whole
is set
Andre
so high
Dawson
to get
thing
there.
Was so enormous.
Yes. So, like, And in this day and age, where there's so many ways that you can communicate and you could have sort of Zooms or do something on your phone and then erase it, not everything's got to be written out. But yeah, they were pretty brazen with this. And remember, this is like Bisciotti coming out and saying, well, I don't know that I need to do anything for my guy because they're going to regret what they did for their guy. Yeah. I mean, this is happening in real time.
He killed the Browns for
yes.
that. Yeah, yeah. Publicly, that was we were all shocked that he was so vocal about killing.
They were drawing a line in the sand.
Yes.
And if the NFLPA had better management themselves, they could have messaged this better internally and outwardly and sort of presented this as more of a win for them. Was it going to be a win ultimately in terms of damages? No, but this is a terrible look for the league. If you were really paying attention, duh, of course this was happening. Like, you couldn't find in a league that's supposed to be the most competitive in the world, you could not find anyone to call Lamar on his cell and just find out what his price point is and find out if we could get a meeting with you.
I know we're still a couple years away from where the NFL and the TV corporations can opt out of the CBA.
Well, the broadcast deal, they're not opting out. It's going to be the league that opts out.
The NFL. How contentious could this be? Come the new CBA negotiation. You covered the 2011
head of the PA is a complete, from everything I hear, is a complete pushover. And they're never ready for this fight. They're really not ready for this fight. And I don't even think they want to have a fight because some of their most experienced people have left. The people who understand the inner workings of the CBA better than others are leaving. They had way more people take the buyouts than they thought were. And they had way few people in the wings ready to step up. And they're always running a tight ship. And right now, I don't even know if it's a ship. It's like half a ship. So I wouldn't be holding my breath. The league's going to get 18 games. The league's going to get what it wants in these TV contracts. The league has the hammer. And the PA, not making a big deal of this in real time and so trying to suppress this evidence, it's the NFL's world, and we're just living in it.
We'll get back into this in the 4 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the Orioles and the Rangers, two teams that some people thought were playoff teams coming into the season, both have to be on the list of disappointments. What's wrong with the Rangers? We'll ask Evan Grant, covers them for the Dallas Morning News. He joins us next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.